so. Didn't take that long of a vacation, but then you guys had a hurricane. And I was scheduled to actually share with you all about my vacation on that day. So I can say that by now, living in Maryland, we have experienced an earthquake, a hurricane for the first time in our lives, trees falling in our yard, on our roof, you know, all kinds of fun stuff that we've experienced together with you. But hey, I'm truly, seriously very excited about the hurricane that's about to take this congregation and the transformational power that it carries with it for this community that God has planted us among. So that is my excitement. With this excitement, I'm approaching you this morning. My heart has been overwhelmed and overjoyed by the Lord for what He has begun to do. We came here with Michael almost a year ago. Pastor Lenny has approached us in September of last year, so it has been a year, to consider joining this team of ministry expression of a local church body. And so we began to pray with Michael about coming here. And the Lord very clearly gave us the indication that we will come and we will see communities changed in this location. And our hearts got so excited about this transformational power that the Lord was going to bring about. And I can say with assurance now that I'm beginning to see the glimpses of that hurricane that is about to hit our community in St. Mary's County. And so for that, I'm giving God the glory, and I would like for us to engage the community as the Lord is opening transformational doors. So, this morning I will share with you out of a scripture that has hit my heart. Pastor Laney was just saying how scripture is layered, and one time you read it and you get so much, and then the next time you read it and you see the next layer. Just like the mountains you're looking at, and they all appear almost as one mountain, and as you approach them, they begin to layer. So for that reason, this book would never be exhausted. We will never totally and completely get bored with the word of the Lord, because there is a new fresh anointing and a revelation that comes to us every time we approach it. So I will be sharing the word of the Lord with a new revelation that has hit me as I was reading it this week and getting prepared for this for the message today. And I know I'm taking the pulpit about, you know, 5 till 11, but I wanted to share in brief about our vacation in Bulgaria. Would you allow me to do that for about 5-10 minutes? Because it is exciting what God does while you vacation. Okay, we didn't officially go on a ministry trip, yet the Lord just rolled the red carpet for us as we went there in terms of ministry. So I want to say to you this morning that I'm bringing greetings from brothers and sisters everywhere in Bulgaria where we went. For some of you that do not know that, we are originally from Bulgaria. We grew under the communist regime, and we left as the Berlin Wall fell down, and it gave us the opportunity to live under secure conditions, because if we have left prior to that, our parents' livelihood, my dad's ministry would have been jeopardized. And my dad is a pastor in Bulgaria, still very active pastor. And so we couldn't see to do that. But it's interesting that the Lord had begun to stir in our hearts a desire to leave Bulgaria, when it wasn't popular, by the way, to leave any of the countries of the Eastern European bloc. And He has placed the desire in our hearts to come to the United States. And we were so sure that's what God would truly accomplish. So we have put all of our efforts and energy into a ministry opportunity that God has opened into this country. And to be very honest with you, we haven't been back to Bulgaria in 11 years. So our surprise when we got back to Bulgaria of how the country has changed truly awakened us to a lot of realities that freedom brings and the byproducts with freedom when you don't have sufficient laws to support that. So it was a very interesting experience for us as we moved and looked at the country and re-engaged family and relatives again. But what makes my heart glad beyond anything else is when the Lord begins to break on the scene, and regardless of the conditions, the political system, the social structure that exists, His will still goes forth, and what He has decreed is going to happen, happens. And so this brings me to such excitement and such pleasure. And so when we went to Bulgaria, the only speaking engagement I have undertaken was to do a leadership training with the gypsy pastors at a village, which the church in Illinois, where we were part of, had built, I would say about 7-8 years ago. And so that was our first experience to get to a place where we have made a difference. The last time, 11 years ago, when we went to Bulgaria, we went on a mission trip, and we have taken a group of believers from a church, from a small church in Illinois, 100 people all together with kids and all, and they have seen the need of that church because the people at that time were gathering in the courtyard and sitting on wood stamps. Okay, just wooden stamps, just, you know, like the hurricane trees that came down. You know, people had cut those and had sat on those in the courtyard and had impressed the hearts of those that we brought with us. And in no time, we have collected $30,000 to build a church. So now we had the opportunity to go back to this church and to do a leadership training of the pastors and leaders in this whole area. And what was my surprise, and I was totally overjoyed to find out, is that this particular pastor, the pastor of this church, had turned the building of this church into a leadership hub training place. What he has done is he has committed for the last several years to train leaders to go and pioneer churches in all the villages around. So to do that, he works with them during the week, and on Sunday night, he gets them into his church. But he does not have a Sunday morning service, so his leaders that he has trained can go and pastor the new pioneer churches. I was just blown away by that. Thought, whoa, what an innovative way of developing leaders and then dispatching them throughout the entire area. And the brothers and sisters that have come for that pastoral gypsy training, by the way, those things are almost oxymoron. If you have any idea of the gypsy culture, a lot of them are illiterate. A lot of them really, the type of work is stealing, robbing. You know, that's how they become economically sustainable and self-sufficient. They truly do not get engaged in legal employment. Actually, they would return the bride if she doesn't know how to steal. She has to come with that skill, or she is not a good marriage prospect. But my dad has worked in that area and with that pastor for many, many years. He has pioneered over 27 churches among the gypsies and oversees over 50. So we were able to see with our own eyes the fruit of something that truly makes a difference. And I'm talking about a building that was placed in the middle of a gypsy community that has made a difference. And a small little bitty church in Illinois of 100 people altogether had raised the money and have invested in an area where they probably would never go visit themselves personally. But that investment in financial resource now propagates the gospel around this whole region and makes a difference in the gypsy communities and takes people from unemployment, from total poverty, he takes them into sufficient, sustainable living where they can truly experience a transformational development that has engaged the living God, Jesus Christ, into their lives. But unless there was a small group of people that truly cared, that wasn't going to be a reality. So we were extremely blessed by seeing the innovative ways that that gypsy community was getting developed under the anointing of Christ and under the good stewardship of his leaders in there. That was the first Sunday we got there. And the evening of that Sunday, the Christian TV has approached me to do an interview with me, and I thought, oh, that definitely would be a great available option for me to reach most of the community, the Christian community there. So we drove to that place, and later that evening, at midnight that evening, my brain was about falling asleep, and I said, can we please do it that morning? But the morning wasn't available, so I did the interview midnight to 1 o'clock that night. And it was so interesting to me that as the interviewer began to engage my heart and to see the passion that ticks in me, decided to focus the one-hour interview on the integration of faith and career, faith and business. How do we get this community to change for Christ? Now, that might be an easy topic to talk about here in the States. That's what I'm all about. I talk about that. We need to walk our faith outside the church walls. We come here, we celebrate our Sunday morning experience with the Lord. We celebrate our faith on Sunday morning. Then we go out there Monday through Saturday and we celebrate the same way our faith engaging the community. It's totally normal. It's an idea that you could swallow and digest. In Bulgaria, that is not so easy. Because the majority of the businesses in Bulgaria are shady businesses. They are run on less than ethical principles. There are tons of Mercedes and all kinds of cars like that on the roads. And we look at that, and I know that my mom and dad survive on 100 leva, 150 leva. This is about $120 per month. And if it's not for our support, they cannot survive, really. And then you look at this conglomerate of brand new, brand name car models that are on the roads, and you're wondering, where are those people getting the money? How are they surviving? Plus, look at what they're driving. Then we found out, everybody that we encountered explained to us that pretty much every business owner is viewed as a shady business. They're viewed as people that are less than honest. They're viewed as people that cross the line of law. And really, those that are set to protect the law cross the line themselves as well. So within that environment, to be able to approach a nation, to get into their homes through a TV channel, and to begin to talk to them that there is a different way of conducting your work experience, that you could be blessed, including in your business expression, if you lay the foundation of high Christian ethics and high Christian morals, was totally a different concept. I was blown away. That's what they want to hear about. I was still blown away. People are watching it. You know, I was just, as I was preparing my sermon, I wanted to share this. I clicked to see how many viewers they already generated. They're still watching it because it's on the internet. I can follow just the internet, you know, portion of it. So it was so interesting to see the hunger the hunger. Because you see the contrast of what's not there. Yet there is a longing. There is a longing for a transformation to happen. And I'm talking about Bulgaria, but you know what? It is very relevant here as well. There is a longing that our ethics and morals and our Christian standards and the principles of the kingdom of heaven are taken from this building and walked outside along the streets of this community. It's very easy to do ministry abroad or give your money $20 or $10 or $100 towards someone's ministry somewhere. But when it comes to you, to your personal expression of faith on daily basis, in your career, then it really hits home. And we have to walk what the Lord has taught us. So we really had a great time connecting with friends and family, and I had to take another preaching engagement the following Sunday. And after that, we had a journalist that contacted us from the Christian newspaper and wanted to do another interview on me, and that is coming out actually right now in the next issue of that newspaper. And it's a hard copy and on the internet, and they have broad readership. And to my surprise, what is this journalist wanting to talk about? As they began to engage me, they all talked to you a little bit to know what direction they want to get that interview on. She wanted to talk about integrating your faith into the business you do, your faith into the career. And I said, is your readership ready to get that? She said, absolutely, we'll get that thing going. So this is the direction that she conducted that interview, and I just got the approved article copy, and I'm very curious to see what is the Lord doing and how He's preparing the soil in this country, because it's not a big country. It's about 7 million people. And you know what? With the right kingdom leadership in this country, things can be transformationally turned around. And it could become a beacon of those Eastern European countries that are right now entangled in politics that tie them back to the old Russian system, that haven't really begun to experience what it means to truly be free. But God, He can bring freedom that is a holistic freedom that's going to touch the body, the emotional part of the human being, including the spiritual need that nobody can satisfy it, but the person of Jesus Christ. So as that journalist took her interview with me for the newspaper, she said, you know what? My personal gift is a prophetic gift and is a gift of a chain connector. I said, okay, what's that? I connect people to people. That's what I do. As a journalist, I go places, I talk to anybody and everybody of all kinds of ranks, and I'd like to connect you to the business associations. And she enumerated many of them, really. All different leagues have their associations, and she would like to connect me with all of those associations, so they can bring me in as a speaker and leadership trainer. And I said, now, are you talking about Christian business associations? She said, no, I'm talking about the secular associations. And I said, that's my heart. Go ahead and make those connections. And she said, yes, we do have Christian business people among those associations. But no, I'm talking about you coming back and doing leadership trainings and bringing the Christian morals and ethics within those trainings. Wow. That's why I said I felt like the Lord had rolled a red carpet before us as we walked through the country, and we have experienced the hunger of those that have been oppressed for so long, that have entered supposedly the free world, but they somewhat have been cheated into freedom, because they're not experiencing yet to the fullest. So that is my Bulgarian story for which I'm extremely excited. I know that God has placed us in this particular local church body for many reasons, including that we would partner together and see this field that has been wide open for us, being engaged by us. For I'm part of this body and you're part of me. We are all connected together into one body. So I'm very excited for what we together as a corporate body may affect as a change in Eastern Europe and in Bulgaria specifically. There is a denomination, the Assemblies of God denomination, that has approached me to take to the denomination church life template. The Romanian superintendent has also approached church life for that, and they're looking into how can we affect those denominations as well. The kingdom leadership is something that is a step higher than any other leadership that we can focus on. And so what I'd like to do this morning is read from our text. I'll do a very quick portion on that. I promise I will continue that next time I have the pulpit, because I'm looking at the clock and it is 11:15 at this point. And I don't want to chop the message. It's a two-part message, so please be attentive to it, because I do want to share the amazing opportunity that God is also opening for us to work in this community. And if you would open with me to Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 34, we'll begin to engage this scripture, and we will continue with that next time as well. So if you can open your Bibles, I would encourage you, if you have any electronic devices that you carry with you that have your Bible on it, by all means, use that. So it's Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 34. This is what this text says. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Yet not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be what? Your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. I have entitled this series of two sermons, "Whose Cry Do You Hear?" Whose cry do you hear? And when you go back to your connection groups, by the way, again, I would stress how important it is for us to discuss what we hear, what the Lord is telling us during his word exposure, because it's important for all of us to digest the word personally and to see where he's directing us to go. So in the connection groups, we have the time to really discuss, what did you hear today? And the question that we would be posing to each other today would be, whose cry do you hear? Whose cry do you hear? I will remind you of the context of this passage. The The context actually is very interesting. Jesus was talking to his disciples on a very serious note. He was sharing with them from the depths of his heart. He was telling them that now is the time when he will be arrested, he will be abused, he will be hurt to the point of death. And then he will resurrect again. He was truly opening his heart. This is one of those rare moments that Jesus had with his disciples. Sharing the deepest thoughts of your being. Think about how you feel when you do that. You know, he went deep on the inside to open up and to get his concern to his disciples. Jesus was truly sharing about his role in the kingdom of heaven. Unfortunately, all that the disciples heard was the kingdom of earth. Because their reaction to what he said, okay, I'm going to now be arrested. I will be killed. Yet I will resurrect in 3 days. What they heard with what he shared was he's going to come back. He'll get on the throne. He will begin to reign. He will establish his kingdom here on earth. And he will reign through human means. And so now let's fight over who's going to be his closest advisor. So really that's the whole context of this scripture. So they began the fight. Okay, they were so indignant with those two brothers that had no shame, brought their mom to plead their case. They wanted to be the right men. The one that Jesus would make all the decisions through. One on the left side, one on the right side. And so all 12 now began to fight on how humanly to affect the kingdom on this planet. Jesus looked at them and said, time out, time out, time out. You're really not getting it. I'm talking to you about the kingdom of heaven. You are talking to me about the kingdom of the earth. They're totally different planes. You do not mix those two. So let me explain something to you. The leadership in the kingdom of earth goes this way. You put somebody in authority and that person lords it over them. You know, you've seen the Gentiles. The Romans are a great example. You see the social structures under the Romans. But I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven goes under a different type of leadership. The kingdom of heaven has two points that are the most important thing. It comes with the price tag of slavery. And it has a goal, rescue. The rescue of human life. Price tag of slavery, goal, rescue. Now, if you want to become one of the greatest on earth, one of the greatest leaders on earth, I'm inviting you to step into the role of a rescuer, just like me. See, I so love the world that I'm willing to sacrifice it all to the point of laying my life because I'm all about rescue. I need to come in, intervene in your personal life, and I'm about individual human soul rescue. But you cannot get there by fighting over who's going to be on my left and right. Because, see, heavenly kingdom leadership doesn't organize itself after the pattern of the earthly kingdom leadership. The heavenly kingdom leadership is countercultural and it is counternatural. It's countercultural because you will not be placed above all and give orders, but you're going to be placed under everybody and become a servant. And what does the servant do? By the way, they knew exactly what those concepts meant. Because servants were the ones that would attend to every need that a household would have. The servant was the one that would run and bring the water. If somebody comes into the house and they have to wash their feet, get ready to eat dinner, who would serve it? It's the servant that would run and make sure that every physical need was met. So he looked at them and said, servant, even a slave, because a slave has relinquished his or her will and have submitted it under the rulership of another. And in the heavenly kingdom leadership, the price tag is submission of will. If you want to be the greatest in his kingdom, then you become a submissive slave to the will of the Father. Now, that didn't sit very well with them. I don't know how you're going to accept that, but somebody comes to you and tells you that the expectation of your life, I mean, they were disciples. Let's think about it. They were following the rabbi that they believed would bring back the rule of the Israel's nation. They will overthrow the Roman rule, and as that Messiah sits on an earthly throne, now this group of 12 people were the most important group that would begin to reign on behalf of the whole nation. So that really didn't sit very well with them. Now Jesus also, as a rabbi, knew that offering just information would do no good. He was after transformation, not information. And I'm not just saying this because it's catchy. If you read cultural background of the Jewish society, you would see that rabbis in the first century taught for transformation's sake, not for information's sake. You know, teaching is all that happens outside of your head. But learning is all that happens on the inside of the head. So for the disciples to actually undergo a learning curve, they had to transfer the information that was given on the outside to become a transformational nugget on the inside. They now have to take that information as a transformational experience for them, or they were not going to show any different attitude or approach to the society at large. So what Jesus did is, as he taught informational abstract concepts, he always modeled them for his disciples. So just imagine what we just read. There was a big crowd listening to his instruction, and he has specifically approached his disciples, and they were around him and vying for his attention. I'm talking about the whole crowd was crying out for the attention of the one that was being prepared to become the liberator of the nation of Israel. So they were all around him getting excited that there is a possible Messiah that has come among us. That Messiah that shows all kinds of signs and miracles and wonders, now we want to become part of his entourage. So they all vied for his attention. There was a big crowd leaving Jericho. And they were all crying. There was a lot of requests spoken towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But as he was walking by the roadside, not part of his group, not part of the inner group, not part of the larger group, on the roadside, not part at all of the entourage of Jesus Christ, were two blind men, the outcasts of the society, who sat there and they said, "Who's coming? Who's coming? Oh, that Jesus of Nazareth. You know that Jesus? Jesus! Oh, then we're just going to cry out and get his attention, because if anybody can touch my situation, it's that Jesus of Nazareth." So they began to cry out, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." Yet the crowd around Jesus was so loud, and the crowd was afraid that the outcasts of the society is going to shift the attention of Jesus from focusing on them to focusing on the outcasts. So they sharply rebuked the blind man, saying, "Don't call after that teacher. You have no right to be heard by this rabbi." Were they giving up though? They shouted that much louder and went after Jesus with all they have, because they had a need that had to be answered. There was a condition in their lives that nobody was able to face, touch, or change and transform but Jesus Christ from Nazareth, the Messiah coming and abiding. So they cried. And Jesus paid attention to the two outcasts of the society and not the attitude or the opinion of the whole crowd. Presumably a crowd that was supporting him and was aligning with his teaching. So Jesus Christ gets down to their level, to the level of the blind men, and says, "What can I do for you?" Oh, they were not hesitating. They knew exactly what their need was. So they needed their sight. They needed to see. This morning as I was praying and just praising the Lord and just being in great presence of the Lord before I came to the church premises. And I'm like saying, "Oh, this is so wonderful to be in your presence and to experience you." And the Lord spoke to me this: "You can see me. What about the blind ones that cannot see me?" For the enemy of the soul, of those that are desperate, hopeless, that are all around us in this society, dear brothers and sisters, we have people in this community that are completely blinded because of the enemy of their souls. They are in desperation. They are in great need. But they cannot see the Jesus that you see. They're crying out through the need that they have. All they were crying out wasn't, "Come and change my heart, for I'm empty on the inside." All they knew was the need. They said, "I want to see. That's my need. I don't have a sight." And I'm talking about a physical sight. All they knew was the need. All Jesus had was an answer to the deeper need that they perceived. So as he stopped, he gave them more than they asked for. For he touched them, He spoke healing in their hearts. And it said that they got up and they followed Him. They became followers of Jesus Christ. Followers of Christ. I want to ask you this morning, whose cry do you hear? Have your ears been conditioned to hear the cry of the needy, the outcasts, the handicapped of the society? Have we had a heart to hear those that are on the side of the road? Or are we looking at a crowd that comes with accolades and approval of what we do, and we're glad that we have a crowd around us that muffles the voice of the crying out in need? Certainly Jesus paid attention to the outcasts, to those that were on the side of the road, that were not yet part of His followers. For those of us that are deeply stirred this morning, we will continue on that. But for those of us that are deeply stirred in the heart and truly want to become part of this heavenly kingdom leadership team that goes out there and makes the difference in our society, I want to share with you real briefly about the opportunity that the Lord has opened for us as a body to engage in this community. I'm extremely, extremely excited. I'm not going to go into detail sharing that, but the Lord has divinely placed an appointment, a point of contact, where I was able to talk to an assistant principal at Park Hall and share my heart to go into the school system and touch those in need. And so that triggered several contacts and emails and truly a red carpet for us that have been extended from the superintendent of St. Mary's school system. So we have been invited to partner with them to truly make a difference in our community. And I'll tell you what we are very excited to do. Alexia is the outreach director of our church, you know, has been in those meetings with me. And we're extremely excited that Park Hall has allowed us to come alongside them and touch the needy. But the needy, as we perceive them, are first the parents and then the kids. Because to be able to touch the children, you have to be able to touch the adults, the adult role models in their lives. Otherwise, you can work on the children as much as you want, but when they go back into a family situation that they came from, the same behavioral issues would be perpetuated because you're not touching the family unit. So the school was very gracious towards us and agreed that the best way to go ahead and really deal with behavioral issues and with poverty issues would be if we would engage the family unit as a whole. So we have several points of contact that we have suggested in the program that we are beginning as of this month with the school. The first point of contact is we're offering a computer class to sharpen skills for those that are unemployed or they're in a low-income situation. So we wanted to share with them our available resource. We have people that are willing to go in and train them in computer skills so those people have some employable skills in administration of some sort. So we would take a group of people. And by the way, we're doing all of that on the school campus. We're not bringing them here. We are going to them. So the school has extended their computer lab for us to go train them computer skills. A group of people, up to 30 people, can be trained at one time. After this 6 weeks of training, we're actually going to train them in how to interview. We will teach them techniques and skills of how to come face to face with a possible employer, how to interview, how to present yourself, how to communicate. We will pair them with a team of a couple of very capable people to dress them for the interview. Because a lot of them don't have either the resources or the know-how to know how to look professional when they go to look for those higher-paying jobs. So we will teach them how to interview, how to get dressed, and we will gift them as a gratefulness on our part that they have completed this course of education with the computer skills. We will gift them an outfit that they actually would wear to a possible interview, and we will offer a job fair at the very end as we would go through the community and engage the businesses. God is opening an amazing door, by the way, on that end as well. So I'm excited. At a later date, I will share that with you. But I'm sure there will be enough businesses that would come alongside that endeavor and would consider possible employees. So as we finish this first touch with the parents, we will go into a class that is goal setting. This is extremely important for those parents to begin to think in terms of what is my future goals. You know, do I see, what am I going to do 5 years down the road? How am I going to continue to exist? Because most of the people that are in a low income, less fortunate situations, the now is the only time that they consider. They have absolutely no hope for tomorrow. They don't even want to think that far. But if we can take them there, it would take it to a next level of intervention. As this class wraps up, then we are going to bring Financial Peace University. And I'm talking about on their campus. We're bringing Financial Peace University for the adults and for the kids as well. And by the way, we have been given such favor that as we instruct, because we are their partner and it's a church partner, we can share our faith with them. So that has immense implications. Immense implications. But just the fact that believers have invested in their lives to walk alongside them is an amazing intervention in our society. Because transformation and development of our societies do not happen by church people staying within church walls. We need to really go into the society and model this Jesus Christ. We have to be arrested by the cry of the needy. And instead of looking at the crowds, to look at the outcasts. And stop and model slave kingdom leadership. Because what is the goal? The goal is rescue. Heavenly kingdom leadership goal is rescue. And it is the human soul that holistically resides within a human body and exists within human societies. So we cannot disregard the whole of the person. And for us to earn the credibility to talk to them about deeper spiritual issues, we better show them that we care. So we are also invited to do a mentorship program with the children. So we really would love to have as many as you can have a lunch break and go for a lunch break and be paired with a boy or a girl. Because one of the most important things is to have a positive role model. And most of those boys and girls do not have a positive role models in their lives. So just spending your lunch once in a while, maybe you can only do once a week that you want to come in and help and be a mentor. And some of you may want to do the whole week and be paired with the rough boys and girls. And by the way, you would have a choice of which grade you want to work with. So if you're better, it's an elementary school that goes through fifth grade. So if you're better at, you know, the younger kids, that's fine. If you want to go towards closer of the middle school age, that is great as well. So I really would like for all of us to take this opportunity with great responsibility and think over it, pray over it, and see how you could truly model the Christian leadership that we all say that we understand we are part of. And when we go into our connection groups, I'd like those discussions that you're going to be carrying on. If some of you have a heart to be involved with that, please let your connection group leaders know, and they will give that list to Alexia or me. You know, either of us would collect the names, and we would get you plugged in into what the Lord is doing. So are you excited about that opportunity that the Lord is opening to our congregation? It is time now that what have been dreaming, we've been dreaming. Because when I came here, I heard your dreams. And you guys have been sharing with me that here and there, you have affected pockets of this community. But it is time now to go into an invasion in this community. And to take our faith, modeling it through the community. So as we get up and we conclude into this message, I would like for all of us to reflect. Michael, you can come. I would like for all of us to reflect on the opportunity to begin to walk your faith in a very tangible way. I'm not asking you now to invent the wheel. It is here. We're giving you the possibility to do that. As you get engaged into your connection groups, make that commitment. And let us know. Let us all stand and reflect a few minutes before the Lord and make a commitment before Him to truly walk your heavenly kingdom leadership knowledge. Father, we're so grateful that you have given us the opportunity to model who you are to our community. You have placed us in a community that have been receptive towards us. And we thank you for that favor. We thank you for the receptiveness of the St. Mary's school system. We thank you, Father, for the receptiveness of Park Hall. We're praying your amazing anointing over that school, the parents and the children, the educators that work there. We're praying that your protection would be placed around them. Put a hedge of protection of many angels that would intervene on their life's behalf. Father, we're praying also that our hearts would be stirred to be engaged in Park Hall and to begin to witness our faith in a tangible way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We may have some among us that are hearing about this Jesus Christ that I've been describing and don't know Him as a personal Savior. Now is the time to invite this Jesus that modeled a servanthood, a servant type leadership, to invite that Jesus.